Greetings, everybody. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Today is going to be a busy day. We're going to cover a lot of questions and answers. We're going to look at some news, and we're going to look at things the way that they actually are. Not the way we want or the way that we think, but the way that they exist. And then, what does God want, and how does He want it? Ephesians, the sixth chapter, because we see this more and more, and it makes me wonder. You've read of the prison where the demons are, but it makes you wonder this. The more that people sin, does God release more demons? Because we're seeing more deception and more demonic things than we have ever seen in our life. See? And it looks like this is just the beginning. Okay? So the first thing we need to do is make sure that we're right with God. Ephesians 6. We've gone over this before, but let's look at a few verses here, beginning in verse 10. Okay. And so when we're living in these days where it's difficult, here's what we need to be. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, how do you be strong in the Lord? Okay. You pray every day. You study every day. You walk in His truth. You keep His commandments. And that gives you spiritual strength. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now remember this. Satan always comes with a benefit. See? A benefit. If you do this, this will happen. But he doesn't tell you what will happen if you do something and you're caught by the authorities and you don't live in a Democrat state. See, in a Democrat state, you can kill and get released the next day. See? But if you're a Republican, you're locked up. So that tells you what kind of society we are in. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. So it is a spiritual battle and a spiritual battle of the mind. And this means you need to watch especially television ads, and music. And especially, what do they call this music that all they do is blah, 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 blah? What is that? Rap. See? And what does that do to your mind? It makes you go blah, 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 blah. You can't think. That's why the young people today can't think. See? And you've seen Waters' World. Now, since he's got his own program, he sends someone else that. And they cannot even tell you basic questions. Who was the first president? Abraham Lincoln. See? And it shows you how easy it's going to be when the false miracles come. And people are going to believe it and fall into it and enjoy it until God sends His retribution. Okay? But against principalities, against powers, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age. In other words, it comes as a controlled thing. World rulers of the darkness. That means they control it. And Satan has all of those who are his that he controls, and they run things. And he rewards them. Why do you think that the whole Biden family gets off scot-free? Huh? And Merrick Garland, aren't you glad he never got on the Supreme Court? Although the one that just got on is worse than him. I mean, okay, let's go forward. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay? Now, how does it work? How does it work? All right? I've got an email sent to me entitled, Different Year, Different Fear. Let me read it. 203, The Truth. Now, this is All Time Magazine front cover. Okay? The Truth About SARS 2003. Bird Flu 2004. Oh, something about chicken pox. Okay? What do we have that they're working? Guess what they're working on in WuHo Lab right now? Monkey pox. See, the only way you get monkey pox is practice homosexual filthy practices and you get infected. See, you can't get it any other way. Name, monkey pox. Oh, what's monkey pox? I don't want to get monkey pox, you know. Would you please get a vaccine so I don't get monkey pox? Yes, we will give you one so that it will kill you slowly. And you will die happily that we've taken care of you. And you will die without monkeypox. Okay? 2009, H1N1. 2004, Ebola. Okay? So what do we have now? 2016, the Zika virus. See, they do it every year. What they're doing, they're programming the public every year. Okay. Then there's another one, some kind of worms. Then another one, that 2017, 2020 coronavirus. Okay. 2021, Vaccination Revolution. Now, you ought to be happy if you did not take the shots because they're finding increased death, increased heart attacks, increased blood clots that people who were never susceptible to them got them. Okay? And people dying early, miscarriage of children. Okay? All of that. Because everybody's been programmed to accept these things. See? And if you dare lift a finger to say there are some natural things you can do, you're going to be arrested for practicing medicine. Think about what they're doing in the world today. And I want you to think about what I'm going to read here. Because this tells you who they're after. All right? Macron in France loses his majority in parliament. Boris Johnson resigns in the UK. Draghi under extreme pressure in Italy. Rutte facing farmer uprising in the Netherlands. Trudeau embroiled in scandals May they expose his little... Okay, let's go on. Biden imploding in the U.S. and the assassination of Abe, the former prime minister in Japan. Okay. Now, what do all of these represent? All of these represent those who are not in on the New World Order. Huh. What did we just read in Ephesians 6? Wicked spirits in high places and missiles of Satan the devil. Okay? Now God is going to give Satan his day, but he's also going to give the people a choice. Are you going to fight for what is right now? And if you do good enough, I won't bring things upon you, because I can delay it later. See? So what's going to happen? We don't know. But, like I've explained right here, that everybody is trying to fight the effects. In other words, all of these things that are wrong are reflective of something else that is greater wrong. See? These need to be taken care of. Yes, you need to stop these, but you need to look higher to understand the greatest thing that is wrong is that people have forgotten God and checked him out of their lives. See? Now today, everybody's hoping, oh, let's get it back to what it was. Well, if you get it back to what it was and you don't come to God, you haven't accomplished anything. See? But people don't realize that because they don't think in those terms. See? And I looked at that just the other day. I like to watch the Warriors because they play good basketball and they're a good team. But I look at these crowds out there now that the quarantine is lifted and you can get out. But I don't see news releases of people flocking to the churches to repent, do you? Okay? So here, I'm on Pacific time. So I can turn on ESPN and they show in the evening all these people out there as the Sabbath is beginning at the baseball game or at the hockey playoff game or at the soccer game. Okay? Have they repented? They want to go back to the old times? Not going to last. Okay? So what are they preparing for us with all of this? All right? I'd like to read the whole thing, but I can't. I'll have Ron post this online. Mostly peaceful depopulation. Oh, did you hear that the monument down in Georgia, which the super secret elite had put up there, that they want to reduce the population of the earth to about 500 million people? See? You know what they want to do? They want to make us like Indians and Eskimos, out grubbing every day for what food we can eat that day. See? And they sit there in all their royal splendor and carry on all of their perversions and satanic things. Now this talks about exposing the coronavirus manufactured. Okay? I'll have that posted. Then here's one here. And this is written by Lou Rockwell. Naomi says, these people are so evil and their attack on humanity and on the West is so comprehensive. How many leaders did we read were affected? Well, I'll just say what I believe. I'm a very critical thinker. I'm not trying to blow my own horn. It's just what I do. I've looked at this attack on us for the last 2 years from every level, and it's so global in scale, and it's so well coordinated. It is so kind of demonic in its imagination and so comprehensive. I also have studied politics and history my whole life, and in no circumstances, not even in Nazi Germany, have I found the ascent that I have seen in such a supernatural amount of coordination. I can't understand this without reference to non-human, non-material reality. In other words, I actually think this is a satanic attack on humanity, and I'm not a woo-woo person. I never talk about this stuff in public. I just think we have to face it. These are metahuman powers. Let's see that that's true. Let's come to Revelation 12:9. And we read this all the time when we talk about, well, the Protestants, they have the pagan holidays, and the Catholics have the pagan holidays, and no one wants to do the truth. And if you speak the truth to them, you know, if you give someone who thinks that he or she is a good Christian in this world, and you give them the book that we have, God's Plan for Mankind, and the other book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, and tell them to read it, they will absolutely collapse into jello when they read what is there that is in the Bible they have, but they have never read. See? No, I saw a clip of Pat Robertson. And he was saying, well, Christmas is pagan, Easter is pagan, and all of these things are pagan. But we've made them Christian so we can celebrate them. Okay. What does God say in Deuteronomy? Oh, but we don't read the Old Testament. That's all done away. Well, you better read it because it says, do not do like the heathen around you. Okay? And you shall not add to or take away from what I'm telling you. What does that mean? Oh, well, that's been done away. Liar, liar, pants on fire, you know. Little kids growing up could tell you that. Okay? Revelation 12, verse 9. And a great dragon. Not a little teeny lizard, huh? Right? Was cast out, that ancient serpent. It's in every history of mankind. Okay? You look at some of the serpent idols that they have going into Buddha temples in Thailand, and you've got the three-headed cobra. Ah, is that the truth about the Trinity? You get close to it, and you get bitten three times. Okay? Who knows? Okay? Ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving a good number of people. Okay? No, the whole world. And he's done this by incrementalism. And what feast do we have that warns us against that? Feast of Unleavened Bread. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? Okay? He's been cast down to the earth. Okay? Now come over here. Chapter 13, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wound, slain unto death, and his deadly wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. Now, what does that tell you? See? The whole earth. See? And they worship the dragon. And every religion on earth is Satan worship. One form or another. Or Satan-influenced worship, so that you have a false Jesus and they eliminate the Father. See? Now, I found out this from Mike Stevens on the Two Mics, because he knew a preacher that wanted to get on TBN. And they have a board that they are grilled for the better part of 2 days to make sure that no one gets on who preaches anything different than what they set down. So what makes you think you're going to get the truth from those yokels? Okay, you're not. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him? A little speculation here. I'll ring the bell. Okay. You've heard of the CERN in CERN, Italy, the collider. Okay. Now, that's way down underground. Who was good at that, say, 70 years ago? Huh? No, the Nazis. And guess what they have? They have a lot of German scientists working there. Huh. Okay, I've said before, so I rang the bell because I'm going to say again. In order for them not to be able to make war against the beast, what has to happen? That they discover something that is more lethal than anything we've ever understood. And this is the way that they're going to fight against the pressure from the East and China. Because if they have that in the palm of their hand, they can tell the Chinese, hey, don't bother us. Because let me tell you what we have. Okay? Now, what's happening in Europe with all of the nations having to come together? And by the way, Erdogan agreed to let Sweden and Finland into NATO. Okay? So there has to come a leader now who's going to bring Europe together. Because they are being threatened. As a matter of fact, the whole world is being threatened by the Chinese. I don't know if you watched what Tucker on Fox News is doing, but he gave a report of the colonization of South America and Central America. And here in America, the Chinese control the media. If they don't want anything said bad about China, they paid millions and millions and millions of dollars to the news outlets. So they send them a nice little email. Now here's what we want you to say. And they say it. And Tucker proved it last night on the news. Everything that the Chinese want the American people to hear, it is on all the fake news. Okay? We're controlled by China. Now, I have a little more to say about that in prophecy in the future. Okay? So, that'll take care of that for the time being here. Okay? So, we are in the last stages of tyranny taking over. Now, the only hope is that there's enough repentance in America that God gives another opportunity for all of us to preach the gospel to the world. and that God will open the doors to make it possible. See? Because you can't preach the gospel from the Protestants, and you can't preach it from Catholics, because they are nothing more than pagans. And if you don't believe that, you get the book, The Two Babylons, by Alexander Hislop. And I want to tell you that God did a lot to expose all about the Catholics at the end of the 1800s, that if the Protestants would have taken heed, like we have here with Cardinal Gibbons, we've got it in Appendix N in the Bible, Rome's challenge to the Protestants, that he told the Protestants, everywhere you go and look in the New Testament where you suppose the first day of the week is, it has nothing to do with worship. And that you should do like the Seventh-day Adventists, because they're the ones who brought the suit against the Protestants who wanted to close down the World Fair because Sunday was the Lord's Day. And Cardinal Gibbons gave the answer, 4 Sabbaths in a row in July, from the Baltimore Sun, or the Catholic newspaper there. And he proved from the Bible that there is no such thing as Bible-authorized Sunday keeping. So if anybody out there thinks that any man has the power to change the Word of God and change one of the Ten Commandments, is blind and stupid and knows nothing about the Bible and nothing about God. See? That's how we got ourselves in the mess we're in. All right? Now, they always play down the number of abortions. Now, I don't know if you heard about this woman who used to be head of one of the Planned Parenthood things, and now she's pro-life. Yeah. Okay. Think what's on her conscience. They played it down. And guess what they like to do? They like to get the blood of the aborted babies and give it to the rich people so they will have more youthful vigor. Huh? Think about it. Oh, well, that's just good science. By whom? All right. Let's look at some questions. Got a whole stack of them here. Where do you find speaking in tongues, and what is the purpose of it? All right. Let's review it. Where do we find it? The book of Acts. Speaking in tongues. Acts 2. See, you got to know your Bible. You got to memorize these things. Have them in your mind. What was it activated by? Spirit of God, right? On what day? Pentecost. Yeah, Pentecost, the Ten Commandments were given and God spoke, right? Here you have the Spirit of God has come and the 12 apostles have spoken the Word of God, beginning the New Testament, to every language and person. Meaning, tongues must be an intelligent language, because all those there at the temple said what? How is it that we hear every man speaking the things of God in our own language? Okay? All right, that's number one. Number two, Acts 10. What happened in Acts 10? Okay? And God had to do this with Peter. Okay? If it would have been done with any other apostle, it would not have gone over. So God had to work a miracle, because there was this Italian, you know, Jews looked down upon anybody who was not one of them. Oh, well, we'll accept circumcised Gentiles, but they have their little cubbyhole over here in the synagogue, see? So, God answered the prayer of an Italian and sent an angel with a message to Cornelius to go get Peter. Okay? Now, that's astonishing because God was working directly, independently from the apostles, right? But he wanted to bring the Gentiles in. So Peter, after the vision that he saw, and remember all the unclean things let down in the net, what did Peter say? Oh, Lord, that looks really good. Can I roast them and boil them? And no, he said, Lord, I don't understand what's going on because I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Right? Okay. So he was told by the Spirit of God, you go with these men back to Cornelius. Okay. So Peter comes back there with them. They come to the door of the house. Now the house was a big semi-palace out of stone, okay? And Cornelius met them. And Cornelius immediately started to bow down and worship Peter. And Peter said, Cornelius, thank you. Don't you know I'm the first pope? No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, stand up. I'm a man like you. So why have you sent for me? And they came into the house, and the house was full of his friends and servants and soldiers. And guess what Cornelius had been doing? Teaching them the word of God. And they heard about Jesus, and they heard about the miracles, and sent for Peter. So Peter came. And so what was Peter's answer when he saw everybody? What did he say? I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, what is Judaism? It is a respecter of persons in the highest sense, and is to this day. Okay? But that everyone who works righteousness, and he let them know that God would deal with them. So Cornelius took them in, and here's this crowd right in the house. So he started speaking about Jesus and all the miracles and everything that were done. And then all of a sudden, bang, guess what happened? They spoke in tongues. Okay? Now, why did they speak in tongues? And this is languages. Okay? Because within the different servants and slaves that they had, they probably had some from many different nations because that's what the Romans did. Okay? And what were they speaking? The things of God. So, if anyone's speaking tongues, it has to be the things of God. Not some made-up thing like you see on TBN. Okay? It has to be intelligent language. And what was this sign for? Most people never ask the question. Why did God give this sign with all these Gentiles speaking in tongues and Peter was there? Why did God do that? To tell Peter that the Gentiles would receive the Holy Spirit. Now then, stupid Protestants say, this shows that you don't have to be baptized. Read on. What did Peter say? He said, how can we deny them baptism? And so they were baptized. Which, at that stage of the church, they would never have done unless God miraculously intervened. See? So they were baptized. So, again, speaking in tongues, it's a language to be understood. Now, up in Jerusalem, the church also had a council of elders. Okay? Jews. And some of those who had been with Peter rushed back to Jerusalem and told the elders, do you know what happened down there where Peter went to Cornelius' house? He preached the gospel and they spoke in tongues and they were baptized. So Peter comes back there and the elders, what is this that we hear? That you were with Gentiles. See, because it was unlawful for any Jew to keep company with a Gentile, let alone go in and preach to them, and let alone stay for a number of days afterwards, eating with them and teaching them the ways of God. So you read all of that in Acts, the 10th chapter. Then Acts 11, he comes back, and there are the elders questioning him, and they said, oh, well, then God has granted repentance to the Gentiles. Okay? But they still, in Jerusalem, kept Gentiles as second-class citizens. And that turned out to be the big fault of James, the brother of Jesus. That's another story we won't get into. All right? Then the third time, they're speaking in tongues. Where's that? Anybody remember where it was? Third time, speaking in tongues. It's in the book of Acts. Acts 19. Paul came to Ephesus and found certain men who believed. And he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? And he said, well, we don't even know if it exists. Under what then were you baptized? Well, we were baptized under John's baptism. So what did he do? He baptized them again. And when he laid hands on them, they what? They spoke in tongues, which was languages, as a sign to Paul to stay in Ephesus, which he did for 3 years. Okay? So, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14 that speaking in tongues is for the non-believer. To hear someone not knowing their language to speak about the truth of the gospel so they can be converted. It is not for the believer. So those who write and say, well, this minister says you speak in tongues. Does everybody there speak English? Or does everybody there speak German? Or does everybody there speak Swahili? Does everybody there speak Spanish? No need for tongues. Okay? And if you speak in tongues, you've got to have what? What do you have to have? An interpreter. Why? Because you have to edify the church. Whew. See? So no, speaking in tongues today is a demonic substitute for what God has given, and where everyone knows the language, it is not needed. And that is a demonic substitute because Paul said, I would rather speak 5 words in an own language than to speak 10,000 words in an unknown language. that nobody else knew. Now, how would you like it if you came in here on the Sabbath and I started speaking in Chinese? You'd wonder, what happened to Fred Golder? Right? Okay. So that's the answer. No, those who speak in tongues today, and they're not speaking to non-believers in a language that the non-believer understands. Now, this happens to come out of Australia, so I don't know what language down there you speak, but sometimes it sounds like English. Okay. Here's another question. My question is, because the world government is coming, and what do we do to resist them? Okay? You witness to them of the truth and power of God. You don't get guns. You don't get tactics. Now, it's all right for parents to go down to the school board and the National Educational Association. Who gave the National Education Association the right to determine what the curriculum will be for all the students in America? When you've got this hen house full of witches and lesbians who run the National Education Association, and they know nothing about the family and nothing about God and nothing about the truth. So, is it okay for you to go down the school board and you and others who may not be in the church, but your goal is to have them teach basic things like reading, writing, and arithmetic and know how to understand what to do things? Huh? That would be good. Yes. And make sure that they have some good history? Yes. But that's not the goal. That's a step. The goal is to get things right with God. All right, let's take a break. I don't know if I'll finish today. If not, we'll go to next week because you have a lot of good questions, and so we'll answer them as we go along. So anyway, if I hear some ruckus back there while we have a little something to eat and you're speaking in tongues, I'll have to ask you to have Wade interpret it for me. Welcome back, brethren. Let's continue on with Sabbath services and questions and answers. The next question is, I want to know what booklets I can order through mail that are not PDF. All right, first of all, what you do is order our catalog. Now, many people don't know it. We have 130 plus books, booklets, and transcript books. Now, transcript books, we cover in-depth series, and they come with CDs. So you can listen to it, and the transcript, you can read exactly what is on the CD. So this really helps you learn, okay? So get a catalog and decide what you need to have here. Satanists claim they're entitled to abortion as a religious right. Now you see the weakness of the Constitution. If you have lawless people and dedicated to enforcing their lawlessness like we see happening today, how good is the Constitution? See? It's not very good. Look what they're trying to do to the Supreme Court justices now. If I were Kavanaugh, I would hire two armed guards and let those rebellious people know you're not going to intimidate me into breaking the law. Okay? What is the best constitution of all? The Bible. Yes. Why? Because it tells you how to handle evil. and the Constitution we have in America is good if you have righteous people, it will work pretty good. So the Satanists want to have as a religious right. So you see, now when this comes before the Supreme Court, what's going to trip them up? Freedom of religion. Let's look at it this way. If you don't accept Satanism as a religion, then you can't accept any other one as a religion. See? So that's the fatal flaw of the Constitution. Now, don't anybody say Fred Coulter's against the Constitution. I'm not against the Constitution, and for a country in the world, it's a good one to have if everyone is law-abiding. Okay? So we'll see what happens to this. Question. Our daughter and many others have had miscarriages, which is a very, very hard thing for a mother to go through. Yes, indeed. Or to have a newborn several months after birth die in your arms. That happened to Dolores and I. Our first child was a girl, Deborah. And she was born premature and never really developed, and she died at 9 months of age. And it was difficult to this day. See? And especially for Dolores. Okay? So, at what period of time will she get to raise her baby? Okay, that is, the question is, when will the baby be raised from the dead? Okay? Now, if the mother goes into the kingdom of God, will God raise the babies that those who are in the kingdom of God have lost so they can take care of their own babies? I don't know. Doesn't tell us. See? But if the second resurrection is after the millennium, then it's got to be after the millennium. Otherwise, if you did that at the beginning of the millennium, then you would have another resurrection, right? Because if you do it for one, then you got to do it for all. How many who are Christians who died in the faith have had lost children? Okay. Then that would have to be counted as a resurrection. So by process of elimination, you would have to say, have to wait the second resurrection, as we find in Ezekiel 37 and Revelation 20. Okay? Let's read it. Let's go to Revelation 20, since we're still open to Revelation. Okay? Revelation 20. Now, sometimes God hides something in a phrase, okay? So let's read it, verse 4. Now, this is talking about those who were in the first resurrection. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and for those who did not worship the beast or his image, did not receive the mark in their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now notice verse 5. See? But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were completed. Is a child who died in that? Of course. Rest of the dead. It doesn't say, except for those children who were descendants of those in the first resurrection. doesn't say that. Okay? So it would have to be the second resurrection. Next one. Okay, Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 12, says, upon reading the whole chapter, a thought came to my mind about the words precept upon precept and line upon line. Were verses 1 through 8? Okay, let's go back there to Isaiah 28. Okay. Which is what you need to do. If you have a question, something about the Bible, unless you know it really well, you open the Bible and go there and look at it and read it and see what it says. That way, you won't miss anything. Because I know lots of times people sit around and talk about the Bible, and they don't open it. Okay? Well, open it and read it. See what it says. All right? So, she questions verses 1 through 8. Okay? So let's read it. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which is on the head of the fat valleys of those who are overcome with wine. Now this is talking about Britain. Okay? Behold, the Lord is a mighty and strong one, like a hailstorm of destroying storm, like the flood of mighty waters overflowing. He cast them down to the earth with his hand. The crown of pride and the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trapped underfoot. Okay, it's talking about modern Britain today. And what comes out of modern Britain? They think they're so smart that they don't need God. Now, they are very intelligent. But that very intelligence leads them into sin. And leads them into pride against other people. Okay? And the glorious beauty on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, as the first ripe fruit before the summer, which the beholder of it swallows up while it is yet in his hand. In the day that the Lord of hosts shall be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty for the remnant of the people. Now this is talking about the remnant that escape out of the tribulation and come into the kingdom of God. See? For a spirit of judgment to him who sits in judgment, for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. Okay? That's talking about ending wars and bringing peace. But they also stagger through wine. Now, where does it talk about wine and today's system? Okay, let's go older place. Let's go back to Revelation 17. Okay. Now, I saw an interesting report on gold written by a Jesuit. And he's hoping that all the gold in the world will eventually end up at the Vatican so they can set the whole world agenda. Okay? Now, I doubt that that is going to happen. Okay? All right, let's read it. Verse 1. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I'll show you the judgment of the great whore who sits upon many waters. Verse 15 shows that's peoples and languages and tongues. Okay? With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and those who dwell on the earth, not just the Ephraimites, but those who dwell on the earth, were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Okay? So that's what it's talking about back here in Isaiah 28. The wine of the Babylonian system at the end time. Now, it could also include various rises and falls of, how should we say, the kings and queens of England and the princes and the nobles and the judges and things in England, okay? Because you go through the cycles and they become corrupt like they're with wine. That's what it's talking about, okay? Verse 7 again. But they also stagger through wine and reel through strong drink. The priest and the prophets stagger through drink. They are confused by wine. Okay, now why? Why are they confused? Because that's the wine of the Roman Catholic Church and the great Babylon system of the world. They reel to and fro through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. And all tables are full of vomit and filthiness. No place is clean. In other words, before God brings the judgment against anyone, he lets it go to its being ripe. Okay? That is really, really rotten. Okay? Now then, question is, with this kind of society, there are still those who are gods. How is he to teach them the word of God? Okay? And what happens to those who are drunk with the wine when they read it? When they read the same thing? Yes, they're blinded. Like I said last week, I got a book this thick. All the prominent people in the world say the Bible's full of lies. Okay? Why? Because if they read it, they can't understand it. Okay? So he says, to whom shall he teach knowledge? Look at all of those in the world. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That is, you have known the milk of the word, and you have grown to understand the strong food, okay? Drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept. Now, we covered that a couple of times today in explaining some of the answers that we have, right? Okay? Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and a foreign tongue, I will speak to this people. Now, stop and think for just a minute. If you went into Britain's parliament and you brought in, well, we won't say the Bible, but you brought in the book we have, God's Plan with Mankind, revealed by his Sabbath and holy days, and give it as something to those men there or in those women, they would read it, but they wouldn't understand it. How can you be a Christian and you say nothing about Christmas and nothing about Easter? And all of us good Catholics here, you say nothing about the Holy Spirit. Okay? See? They don't understand it because they're blinded. We'll see how they're blinded in a little bit here. Now, here's what it is for those who understand the truth. Okay? Line upon line, precept upon precept, and here a little, there a little. Verse 11. For the stammering lips and a foreign tongue I will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest he gives to the weary. This is the refreshing, yet they will not willing to hear. Okay? All right? Those who are willing to hear, you'll understand. Now, we'll have some questions that get quite detailed, and we'll see how to answer them. We'll take some from this place, some from that place, some from another place, and put it together. And we'll be able to make sense of it. But for the people in the world, they don't understand it. You'll probably say, well, give me another glass of wine. This is good. But it's not, okay? So then, here's what happened to the people in the world. The word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Okay? That's what happened. Now, why are they blind? Okay? We'll answer that in just a minute, but let's read a few more verses here. Hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people in Jerusalem. Now it's getting to the Jews. Because you have said, we've made a covenant with death and we've made agreement with the grave. When the overwhelming rod shall pass through, it shall not come upon us. That's Satan's deception. Okay? For we have made lies our refuge. See? And isn't that what they've done with all the Christian religions and Judaism? Made lies their refuge. And we have hidden ourselves under falsehoods. Okay, therefore, the next two verses talks about Christ. Okay? Now, let's see why they don't understand. Let's come to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is automatic. What kind of attitude does it take to fall into this blinded category? Okay. When you hear something simple out of the Word of God to understand. Okay. Now let's take the big one. Fourth commandment. Remember Sabbath day to keep it holy. For the Jews, it is we reject the Messiah. And the way they keep the Sabbath, with all of their rituals, doesn't go up any further than the ceiling of the synagogue. Okay? Likewise in the Christian churches, their prayers and things don't go up any higher than the ceiling. Because if you read something like the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, and all the things therein, okay? And rested the seventh day. Therefore, you shall keep the seventh day holy. You shall do no work therein, you or your son or your daughter or your manservant or your maidservant, right? Okay? Now, if they read that and they say, now that sounds good, you know, I'm going to start doing that, and I'm going to take all the people that work for me, and I'm going to let them have the Sabbath off, and I'm going to tell them, read the Bible and study the Bible. All right? The veil would come off. But because they don't, here it is right here. Let's pick it up in verse 12. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, verse 12. Now then, because we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. For we are not like Moses, who had to put a veil over his face. Why did he have to put a veil over his face? Because the second 40 days that he went up to see God and was up there, he came back down and his face shined like the sun, not in full strength. So he had to put a veil on. Okay? So that the children of Israel could not gaze to the end upon the glory that is now being set aside. The glory that was being set aside was the covenant with Israel, not the laws, not the commandments, the covenant. But their minds were blinded. Okay? What blinds the mind? Disobedience. Just like we read in Isaiah 28. Okay? For to the present hour, the same veil has not been removed, but remains at the reading of the old covenant. There it is right there. We see that today. Okay? Which veil is removed in Christ, meaning you must have Christ, and you must have Christ God's way, as the New Testament showed. Okay. For to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies upon their hearts. But when their hearts turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Okay? Now, let's come over here to chapter 4. Let's see the second blinding. Pick it up in verse 1. Therefore we have this ministry according as we have received mercy. We're not faint-hearted, for we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain. Now think about that. He's saying, and we look at all of these ministers today, asking for money. Money, 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 money. See? Okay? And what do they use it for? Buying homes and jets and all that kind of thing. Okay? Dishonest gain. Not walking in cunning craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Isn't that what they do? Handle it deceitfully. You cannot handle the word of God deceitfully and understand the word of God. You must handle the word of God as the truth from God. And what you see it tells you to do, you must do. That lifts the veil from the Old Testament. Now what about the New Testament? Here we go. But by manifestation of the truth, and you heard me say how many times that we want, that we need, it's the truth of God, the truth of God, the truth of God. Okay? We are commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God. But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing. Because there'll be people out there, they hear about the Sabbath and say, well, I don't believe that. I have a good Sunday keeping church and we're going to go there and my wife is in the choir and we have lots of friends and everything there and I just can't give it up. All right? You remain blind. Notice how. In whom the god of this age or world, who is what? Satan the devil, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Because if you don't believe God and believe his word is true and believe that you need to do it and that you live by it, it does you no good. That error will lead you into a whole lot of trouble. Okay? And what else will it do? Like it says, blinding. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, that they would understand the truth of God's plan and what to do, where to go. Okay? So those are the two things of blinding. Your own blindness, because you won't believe God, and Satan's blinding, because you won't believe God. Both. So God gives you two choices. Okay? Now notice, all elders, ministers, everywhere, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Okay? That's what it is, to serve the brethren. Okay? So thank you for this concerning the Isaiah 28 and blinding. All right. Let's go to another one. Dear Mr. Calder, I've asked the question some time ago, and I'm still struggling with it. Perhaps there are others struggling with it as well. I'm hoping you're able to cover this in your question and answer period during Sabbath service. Question is baptism sometimes necessary if your baptism was in a Sabbath-keeping church? Okay, let's go to Acts 19. Let's see. Okay. This tells us about rebaptism, and the short answer is yes, that may be necessary. Okay, Acts 19, verse 1. Now it came to pass while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the upper parts and came to Ephesus, when he found certain disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit after you believed?" Okay. Now, obviously, we'll see that they were Sabbath keepers. Because whose baptism did they have? Let's read it. And they said to him, "We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said to them, "Unto what were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto the baptism of John." Now, John's baptism is closest baptism you could get to the real thing, correct? Okay. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit of God. See? So Paul said, "John truly baptized with a baptism under repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him who was coming after him, that is in Jesus the Christ. And after hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Okay? "And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other languages and prophesied. All the number of men was about 12. Okay? And he entered the synagogue. What day is the synagogue open? On Wednesday? No. Sabbath. Okay? They were attending the synagogue. Okay? So Paul attended the synagogue, spoke there for 3 months, turned the synagogue upside down in an uproar, so he had to go and rent a hall from Tyrannus, and he stayed there for a number of years. Okay? So, yes, there are times you have to be baptized. But what I always do is this. I ask the individual to fast and pray about it and let God's Spirit reveal to that individual whether or not they have the Holy Spirit of God, whether it is with them or in them. Because they have to figure that out before God. And if it's with them, but not in them, they should be rebaptized properly. Okay? But if it is within them, they don't need to be baptized. So each case is an individual case. Now, we had down in Southern California a man who had been in a church and been out for quite a while and had been flaying around here and there and so forth. He finally got in contact with Byron Norrod and asked if he needed to be baptized. Well, Byron did exactly what I just said. You go fast and pray about it, and you ask God to reveal to you whether you still have the Holy Spirit of God or not. And if you do, you don't need to be baptized. And if you don't, I'll baptize you. So he came back and said, yes, I've got God's Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, one of the ways you can tell is this. If your conscience is constantly pricking you while you're not in attending church and doing different things, and God's Spirit is still pricking you daily or weekly or whenever you start doing things that you know you shouldn't do, then you have the Spirit of God, and God's Spirit is trying to tell you, stop doing that and come back to me. Okay? Now, I pray that there'll be many, many people like that that will come back to God the way that they should. See? And unfortunately, a lot of them, especially in Southern California, left because Pasadena became a cesspool of trouble and difficulty. Just too bad. Okay? So that takes care. Yes, you need to be baptized again. All right? Here's one more. Okay. In Acts 8, Philip preached to the Samaritans. Were they Jews or Gentiles? Okay. Now, you have to know a little bit about what happened with the Samaritans. Here's what happened. God sent the 10 tribes of Israel into captivity. And what did it say that the Assyrians did after they left? They took people from Babylon and other countries to the east and moved them into the area of what is called Samaria, which is part of the area of the 10 tribes, okay? Having nothing to do with Judah, okay? And they set up a religion, and God sent wild lions to come against them because they were so bad. So the answer was, send for one of the Levites and send him back and show them how to worship God. Okay, so they brought a Levite back, and he showed them how to worship the pagan way of the Levites, but it was better than the pagan way of the Gentiles. So the plague of the lions stopped. Okay, so they're kind of a mixture of Gentiles, some descendants of the 12 tribes, some of the mixture of people that have some of the blood of the 10 tribes in them, and they founded the colony of Samaria. All right? During the Persian Empire, when the Jews had come back to the area of Jerusalem and what is Galilee and Judea, okay? And remember what happened. You read Ezra and Nehemiah. And what did the priests do? They started intermarrying with those women who were of the land and not of the tribe of Levi. Okay? So Ezra and Nehemiah had them separate from those wives, and then one of the leaders of the priest didn't want to leave, so he went to Samaria. Now, when he went to Samaria, he went there with a promise from Sanballat, who was the governor of Samaria, that he would build for those priests that came from Jerusalem, did not separate from their wives, he would build a temple like the one in Jerusalem. Huh! And what they did, they kept the law of Moses written in the script. First five books. And the reason that they didn't take any more of the Bible than the first five books is because the other books talked about Jerusalem was where the temple would be. So if they're going to have a competing temple up here, you can't have him mentioning go to Jerusalem. Okay? So what Ezra and Nehemiah did, Ezra formed the Great Synagogue. And the Great Synagogue then began to put the Old Testament into a canonization form. And they changed the writing style in the scriptures from script to block. Okay? So what you see now with the Hebrew letters, that is block Hebrew, okay, to distinguish it from the Samaritans, okay? So, let's bring this clear forward to the time of the apostles, and having one of the deacons there, having Philip go to Samaria and start baptizing, okay? Well, he was doing a good job, but he wasn't imparting the Holy Spirit to them. And what happened? What happened? Simon, the magician, who was the head priest of this other temple up there in Samaria, came and was baptized by Philip. Okay? When Jerusalem heard about it, they sent down Peter and Paul, number one and two, right? To pray for those who had been baptized to receive the Holy Spirit. And Simon Magus, who was a sorcerer and bewitched the people, said, I'll give you money so I can put the Holy Spirit in people. And what did Peter say to him? Your heart is not right with God, you and your money perish. Okay? So that's how that happened. That's why he went down there. Okay? So, there's a lot of difficulties come along to try and trip up the true church and keep people from doing what is right. Well, I still have a whole stack of them here, and I've got a couple of other questions, so we'll continue with Bible questions and answers another week. And if we have to go on, we'll do another week, because it's important to cover these different questions so that we make sure that we understand these difficult things that we need to really know. So we'll say, so long, everyone, till next Sabbath.